communications executive Gershon Kext, a longtime advisor who was also concerned about Roy's reaction.
"I don't see why you'd want to put the Disney name into the battle," Kext said, urging Eisner to back off.
Xenia Mucha, Disney's head of public relations, also advised that alienating Roy was a mistake. Eisner called Gold, hoping to diffuse things a little.
"Stanley, I think we need to discuss Roy," Eisner said. "I'm not sure Bryson gave him all the information about this. Maybe it's not a done deal."
"Have Bryson call me," Gold said coolly.
He told Roy the decision wasn't final, and he thought something might be worked out to salvage Roy's board membership. After Bryson spoke to his fellow members of the Nomination and Governance Committee, Lozano, Estrin, and Wilson, he reported that the committee remained firm in its decision to force Roy off the board. If the rule were applied inconsistently, forcing off Murphy and Watson, but giving Roy a reprieve, or not applied at all, Disney might be open to criticism. In this matter, Eisner has portrayed himself as simply bowing to the will of the committee. Other board members confirmed that, at this juncture, they were so annoyed with Gold and Roy and what they considered their disruptive tactics that, having come this far, they were determined to press forward. But given Eisner's influence over the committee and the board as a whole, there can be little doubt that had Eisner wanted to keep Roy on the board, he could have. There were obvious alternatives. As chairman of animation, Roy was a management director and thus not subject to mandatory retirement. Or the board could simply have raised the mandatory retirement age to 75 for all directors, which would have given Roy 3 more years. When Gold actually spoke with Bryson, the conversation went nowhere. Bryson said the committee had again discussed the issue and concluded that Roy would not be renominated. The committee's decision was final. Even so, the committee's decision would have to be approved by the full board. Though the board had never overruled the committee, it was theoretically possible that Roy could prevail. But Bryson and Eisner quietly contacted the other board members to brief them and make sure they were on board. Eisner was confident he wouldn't have to worry about a board revolt. When Roy returned from the drink with John Bryson, Patty Disney could tell her husband was in shock. All 4 of their children gathered on the yellow floral sofas in the formal living room at the Toluca Lake home, and along with their parents, discussed for hours what had happened and how Roy should react. In the ensuing days, Roy met regularly with his advisors at Shamrock. Gold, of course, Clifford Miller, the PR advisor who had helped advise them in 1984, an outside lawyer, David Robbins, and a younger executive, Mike McConnell, a former investment banker and teacher who had helped prepare the September 24th boardroom presentation.
"No one can force me off or make me quit," Roy declared at the outset. "I'd rather leave first."
The board's action galvanized the extended Disney family in ways Roy hadn't anticipated. On impulse, he picked up the phone the day after Thanksgiving and called Diane, who was with Ron Miller at their Silverado vineyard in Napa Valley. The cousins rarely spoke and had not been close since the events of 1984 that culminated in Miller's ouster. But Roy was working on Destino, an unfinished animated short